Welcome to Recalculating America. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America and has been named the best small business book in the Independent Press Awards competition. Each Recalculating program is dedicated to helping small business leaders add profits through efficient growth. During every Recalculating program, experts will give listeners useful information about starting or growing their small business. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money. He specializes in helping small business owners make their money work as hard as they do.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features contributions of more than 100 presidents, experts, and leaders, all whom offer you ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
You know, Dan, small businesses are always on the lookout to find ways of raising money by lending, by friends or family or whatever. Our first guest today, Brock Blake, is CEO of Lendio, and he's here to tell us about a very interesting alliance they've just made, which might make it a lot easier for small businesses to find financial help. Brock, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate you having me today.
Oh, I guess I'm going to do the first question. Okay. Brock, tell us a little bit about your company, about your website, and the alliance.
Great. Yeah. So, like you mentioned, I founded the company called Lendio, and we are a small business loan marketplace. Kind of the way you might describe that, it's kind of like the Kayak for business loans. We've aggregated about 75 lenders onto our platform from the largest banks like American Express and Bank of America to, you know, every other type of non-bank lender you may not have heard of. And so the goal is to help small business owners get access to capital and make a very long, painful, overwhelming process, you know, make that simple our website. So essentially what happens is a business owner comes online, they fill out their application. Based on that profile, we search our 75 lenders, and then we present to that business owner the best 3 to 4 options to help them get the loan that they need. And the best part about it is it's free for that small business owner.
Well, first, your website
is lendio.com, www.lendio.com.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you, what made you decide to do this business?
Well, I'm an entrepreneur myself, and I've raised all different types of capital, whether it's friends and family, used credit cards, SBA loans, angel capital, venture capital. I mean, So because I've lived and breathed this, I know how hard it is to get access to capital. I know that it's challenging to, it seems like the only time a bank wants to give you a loan is when you don't need it. And I remember filling out these 30-page long form applications and getting my credit pulled only to get declined by a bank. I just felt like there was a better way to be able to help the business owner get a loan. And so we started exploring and figuring out if there were ways to simplify and solve that problem. And we came up with the concept of Lendio to make, bring all the lenders onto one platform and make it easier for that business owner.
Well, what are the 3 or 4 key factors in the decision process that the small business owners leaders should know? I mean, what are the main things people look for when they decide to make a loan?
Yeah, so I think that I like to talk about the three C's. So there's cash flow, collateral, and credit. Now, back in the day, and if you're trying to get a loan from a bank, usually you're going to need all three. I need cash flow, collateral, and good credit score. And if you didn't, if you only had two of the three or one of the three, then sorry, you were out of luck. Fortunately, over the last, 5 to 8 years, there's been a lot of innovation from non-bank lenders that have said, you know what, I think we can underwrite a business owner that only has two of those three, or perhaps even only one of those three. So the way to think about that is now you can get access to capital even with, if you have bad credit and no collateral and you have cash flow, you still can get a loan. But the way that a lender is going to look at that is if you check the box of all three, you're going to likely get a loan with a lower rate. If you check the box with only two of the three, you likely are going to get a loan, but it's going to be a medium rate. And if you check the box of only one of the three, you can still get a loan, but you represent a higher risk, and so the rate is going to be a little bit higher. So fortunately, you still can get a loan, where a few years ago you couldn't. But those are the three factors: cash flow, credit, and collateral.
I have
Don,
one more.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Dan.
Your question. No. Go ahead. Ask your question, and then I'll come in.
Well, I was going to say, but my last question before turning out, should a small business owner give a personal guarantee?
That's a great question, it's really dependent on the health and the longevity of the business. The idea that lenders are not going to look at your personal credit is inaccurate, and people try and, tell you that, they're only going to look at your business credit. The reality is almost every single lender that we work with is going to pull your personal credit to see what your track record and your history is. That does not mean they're going to require a personal guarantee, but it really depends on, can this business stand on its own? Does it have good cash flow? Does it have good collateral? If so, then a lot of times they can remove the guarantee. But if they're underwriting based off of your good credit history, and that's the only thing they have to go off of, then that's where they're going to start to say, well, we're underwriting based off their credit score. Well, let's put some, let's make sure that they're committed and they don't just walk away from this loan and leave us empty-handed.
Dan, please.
Yes, Brock, I was fascinated listening to what you were talking about with Don. By the way, I'm Dan Perkins, the co-host, and a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, you as well.
I'm the money guy on the show, so when we talk about money, my eyes light up and my hair stands on end. And what I was fascinated about what you said was that the pool of the 75 people, these are my words, Brooke, that pool has changed from what it was, say, 5 to 10 years ago, because you brought in your description of the pool, traditional banks and non-bank banks.
Yep.
Has that addition of non-bank banks, and by the way, for our listeners, that might be almost an oxymoron, why don't you explain what a non-bank bank is and then how that particular group of investors has changed the marketplace?
Yeah, great question. So the best way to describe this is just a little bit of history. So when the market crashed in 2008, 2009, banks realized that a lot of the loans that they were doing, the very small loans, they didn't perform that well. And they said, well, man, if I'm reducing my resources because the economy's dropping and I can only do a certain number of loans, it costs me the same amount of loan to do a $10,000 loan as it does a $1 million loan, but a $1 million loan is so much more profitable to the bank. So let's stop doing these small loans. Let's move upstream and start doing only large loans. And there's a tremendous amount of data showing that banks, you know, kind of vacated the small business loan space and said, we're only going to do loans that are $1 million or greater. Well, that left a huge gap of small business owners, Main Street business owners across the U.S. saying, well, now what? Where do I don't need $1 million. I need $20,000. I need $50,000. I need $70,000. And there's not anyone that's willing to give me a loan at that size. And, you know, because of the great, you know, country this is of entrepreneurs, then people started to say, well, if banks aren't going to do that, I think I can underwrite those loans. You know, I think there's a way to be able to provide capital to Main Street business owners. And so what started to happen is that there started to be innovation with what I call a non-bank lender. It's not a bank. They're not going to get your traditional deposit like a bank would. But they have figured out ways to underwrite those customers that the banks weren't wanting to underwrite. And so you might have heard of names like Lending Club or On Deck Capital or Cabbage. And all they are innovative companies that have figured out ways to be able to fill that need that was going underserved.
So they're not a bank, so they're not subject to the U.S. government through the Treasury Department or the Comptroller of the Currency, any of those regulations?
They definitely are regulated. I don't want to say they're not regulated, but they're not regulated in the same way that a bank is. Lender licensing and lender regulations. But they don't have to, you know, they don't have the FDIC insured because they're not taking any deposits or anything like that. And they've grown tremendously.
So the would those be more like state governed institutions as opposed to, so they're not subject to the FDIC, but would it be regulated in the states as opposed to the federal level?
Yeah. So there are some federal, but it's mostly state regulations
right.
and licensing.
So give us a sense of, with now two different kind of lenders, are the big banks still million plus, or have they realized the error of their ways and they're trying to come back into the small space, or are they forever gone?
No, that's a great question. Over the last 2 years, the banks were, you know, they don't like it when I say this, but we're kind of sitting on the sideline watching this game being played and saying, wow, there's really an opportunity here. But we have to think about it differently. We can't underwrite it with the, you know, 5-person underwriting committee the way we used to. But, you know, these smaller loans, these $50,000 loans, it's a big market. And we don't want to keep losing out on these loans. So banks have created new online ways of underwriting. They have partnered with some of these non-bank lenders. Some have acquired technology to be able to get into this space. I'll give you an example. American Express has done a fantastic job with this. Over the last few years, they've launched two or three products that are new online ways to underwrite and they are providing great loan products to small business owners, you know, with great rates and doing it very efficiently. And Bank of America has done the same thing. And so it's really fun because now there's never been a better time for a business owner to get access to capital because you've got the non-bank lenders who want your business. And now you've got banks that are back into it and they want your business. And they're all trying to say, hey, let me see if I can give you a loan.
Brock and Dan, we have to interrupt you for a brief moment for our advertisers. And we'll be back with Lendio CEO, Brock Blake, and he'll tell us about his new alliance. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
We're back here with Lendio CEO Brock Blake, our co-host Dan Perkins has really been asking the right questions. But Brock, tell us your website again, and also about your new alliance, and then we'll turn it back to Dan.
Yeah, great. So our website for small business owners is lendio.com, www.lendio.com. And just recently we made a really exciting announcement, and that is that we have partnered with Comcast Business to provide more business loans to their customers. And so let me explain that. Most people think about Comcast as, you know, a consumer brand. They provide internet and phone and TV to households across the United States. Well, Comcast also has a very robust business services. So they also provide internet, TV, phone, and other services to about 3 to 4 million small businesses across the United States. And Comcast said, you know, all of these small business customers that we work with, we keep hearing from them that they would love to get access to capital in an easier way. And so Comcast went out and said, man, is there a way that we can partner with someone where we can offer loans to our small business customers? And we went through kind of a competitive process and ended up winning the partnership. And we just launched this about six weeks ago. And so what's happening now is Comcast is going to their customer base and saying, hey, do you need a loan? You know, click here or call in this number. And really, those customers are now coming to Lendio, and we're helping them through that process. So it's been great. We're excited about it. Not only are we providing this service to their customers, obviously it provides a lot of credibility to Lendio and what we are doing and the customer experience we've tried to build. And so this is a big announcement for us and one we're really excited about.
Dan, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I want to follow up on your new alliance with a broader question, if I could, please.
Sure.
Don and I started this program because we believed that with the election of Donald Trump, there was going to be a rebirth in America, more specifically, small business, which is the backbone of America.
Yep.
And we've had a number of guests on this show over the last 4 months who have told us how their business has turned dramatically. They were starving before over the previous 8 years, and now the phone is ringing off the wall. And I'm curious as to whether you're seeing and a renewed interest by individuals to start or expand their existing business by borrowing money.
Well, certainly so. I wouldn't want to say that it was a dramatic kind of night and day difference. But the indicators that we track, and we see thousands of small business every single month, are very, you know, it's an optimistic time to be a small business owner. You know, I'll put some numbers to that. We are growing about 100% a year. So what that means is, you know, we funded our first year in providing this service, we funded about $12 million of loans, and that was in 2014. In 2015, we funded $128 million in loans. In 2016, we funded $240 million, And this year we should do about double that again, about $450 million in loans. As you can imagine, these loan sizes are around $30,000 to $50,000 average. So that's you know, a lot of small business owners across the country that we're helping. And you know, and we keep seeing great growth. We see interest from big partners like Comcast and others, because business owners, it's hard enough as it is. They've got so many things on their plate. They're juggling sales and marketing and customers, and you know, it's hard to become an expert at getting a loan. And so if they love the fact that, hey, it's a free service. I'm going to get someone to help me and walk me through this process and simplify this for me to get, because I want to grow. I want to hire employees. I want to expand and so on. So it is. We are seeing similar data with the business owners that we work with.
So if you're going to double, if you're going to be 440 to 450 million this year, and we're at the middle of the year, where does that, are you on track? You ahead of track, behind track?
Yeah, we're right on track.
Okay. And what are you beginning to think about 2018, what it might mean?
We are. We, in fact, 2 weeks ago, just with our executive team, had a sit-down discussion talking about 2018 and what does our strategy look like, and you know, and how are we going to, you know, what partners are we going to go after and work with, and how are we going to continue to grow and improve our service. And so, you know, we're just starting to have those discussions.
One of the things that I found in my years on Wall Street, when a new product or service came out, sometimes the demand was so great, it really destroyed the ability of the company to process the business. You might have seen recently, I don't know where you are, I'm from Southwest Florida, television commercials with this bunch of young millennials sitting around the computer, and they launched their website. They went live and they got one order, then they got three orders, then they got 10 orders, then they got 300,000 orders. So in your business, how scalable is it, and how do you, I mean, those are phenomenal growth rates. How do you continue to service the needs of those new clients and also taking care of the existing clients with those kind of phenomenal growth rates?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we have tried to do is, there's a certain amount of growth that you, as you're saying, that it's too aggressive and you won't really be able to keep up. And you know, so what we've tried to target is around 5 to 10% growth a month. And you know, so we have a couple different, you know, one of the things that really sets us apart and something that we're very, very passionate about is that we assign a funding manager to each business owner that comes to our website. And so that business owner, you know, not only are they leveraging the great technology we've built, but they also have a trusted advisor there to be able to, you know, ask questions, tell me the difference between product A and product B, and help me understand the terms on this loan. And, you know, so they've got someone to talk to that's kind of working on their behalf. So for us, the growth rate is really dependent on our ability to be able to hire and train talented, qualified funding managers to take care of those customers. And so we really measure our ability to grow by our hiring ability. And so we don't, you know, and you don't want to go out and try and hire 50 people all at once. And so we've mapped out a plan each month. How many funding managers do we want to hire? And, you know, what's the minimum, you know, it's usually about 5 to 10 a month. And with that keeps us around that 5 to 10% growth.
So, where are you getting the funding managers? Are you taking them right out of college, or?
Our headquarters were in Salt Lake City. We also have an office in New York. We like them to have, we'd love them if they had mortgage experience. If they're former mortgage officers, then they really, you know, they understand, they've got a good foundation built. And so we'd love it if they had a couple years of mortgage experience. That's our preference.
Dan, so, can I jump? Sure. Can I jump in? Cause we're getting close to the end and I want to, ask a question. You're now in business of 3+ or almost 4 years. Do you have clients who have come back for second and third loans?
Yes, that is the core of our business. We have a very, very high renewal rate where business owners, about 60% of our customers, come back a second, a third, a fourth. We have some that have come back, you know, 8 and 10 times. You know, the business owners on average are looking for financing about every 3 quarters, where they say, you know, I might need a little bit of working capital, or, hey, I've got to buy some equipment, or, you know, I want to hire, expand. And so what we've tried to really focus on, we focus on three things. Options, well, I want to provide the business owner options. Second, I want to do it with speed. I want to be, you know, they don't have time to be waiting around, and we want to do it as fast as we can. But then third, and most importantly, I want to provide a trusted experience where they feel like, man, that was great. I want to refer my friends and family members, and I want to come back. So if we deliver on those three things, then what we're seeing is these customers are saying, well, I don't need to go anywhere else. I've got all my lenders right here with Lendio. I'm going to come back to them again and again and again. And it's free. Lendio's making money through the lender, and so this is a great way for me to get the loan that I'm looking for.
Ben, you get to ask the last question.
Thank you. I wanted to ask the kind of loans that you make. Are they term loans or revolvers or both?
Both. We have term loans, lines of credit, equipment loans, accounts receivable loans, commercial real estate, SBA loans, business credit cards. You name it, we have it. If it's providing capital to a business owner, you know, we want to have those options on our platform.
Well, we've been talking to Brock Blake, the CEO of Lendio, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I know I learned some things, and hopefully our customers or our listeners did. And thank you for joining us, and we'll have you back on again sometime. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan and Don. You guys are doing a great job. Really appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. Now a word from our sponsor, and then we have a really fascinating guest following.
At Valero, we believe life gets lived between every fill-up. So whether you go down the road on two wheels or four, whether your Wednesday night is spent racing to the grocery store or down a track, and whether you're dropping off the mail, the pizza, the kids, or all of the above, we're here to make sure you're never running on empty. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Well, Dan, our next guest is really the reason you and I are together. When I started with him, Shannon Rose, a few years ago, it was a long time, no one knew me, and I certainly didn't know Jiggy or any of the other 90-odd radio shows I've been on and television shows. But thanks to Shannon, he got me on these shows, got me to you, and started the program. Shannon is president, owner, chief bottle washer of MediaProductions.tv, and we welcome him to the program.
Well, thanks for having me on. Thank you for being a great client, too.
Well, Shannon, tell us a little bit about yourself, your company, and what you do.
Sure. Well, I started in this PR world back when I was a youngin' at 14 years old. I was working in sports entertainment and was an announcer and did a bunch of different things here and there, and that led me to the graces of producing a morning show in Tampa Bay. And like anything else, you know, morning shows, you're there for a period of time, and then, you know, you move on, and I just a couple other things in TV. So, you know, the difference between me and other PR firms is the fact that I was a morning show producer, I was on air, I did production in TV, so I know every facet of what they're looking for in the media, which is, you know, I get a grasp of what they want, and that's why, you know, I think I do a fairly good job of getting everybody booked out there. So with all these different things that I did, I decided, well, you know, why don't I, you know, get to be that person that is going to get the people out there, you know, create the next person, not an agent. Now, I'm not a promoter, I'm not a manager. But what is this publicist thing? And somebody mentioned it to me about it. And, in fact, I worked with a couple of clients that were when I was a producer of the radio show, and they wanted to get their name out there even more. So I ended up with one client, and that one client back 10 years ago ended up still my client today, the Watchdog on Wall Street. So, you know, that's the thing, and I started, you know, finding more people and you know, creating it. And when I was a morning show producer, I had a bunch of contacts because I would be on the phone. You know, I was called the Bulldog of radio producers. I would, one of the people I would get, there was a story going around about something to do with the president at the time, George W. Bush, and I was the person that got the assistant to the president of the United States on the phone. So that's the kind of thing. I was a bulldog and being a morning show producer, which ended up me being a bulldog in the PR world.
Well, Shannon, your website?
Yeah, it's mediaproductions.tv. We have a bunch of testimonials up there. We tell what we do. We break down, you know, how we do things.
Well, what type of a book author personality like myself or would use a service like yours? And I do consider it a service.
Yeah, we're called Eclectic Media PR for a few good reasons. The fact that we're very eclectic in, you know, who we represent, and also very, very eclectic in the media that we deal with. We deal with all kinds of, you know, a lot of authors of all kinds. You know, it's kind of like you're investing in my relationship, my handshake agreements, or, you know, the friendships that I've had and created over this time, over these periods with the media. And, but also we've had clients and have clients that are, you know, work in the political world, or perhaps, you know, not just that. We also represent bands. We've represented celebrities. And I use the word represent again, not to be confused. A lot of people get confused with that word and think we're, again, an agent. But no, what we do and what we get across is we get your name out to the media. We're going to carry on. You know, everybody has a dimension to you. You know, we want to take that book and have it stay around and be known for, you know, for a large, long period of time. We always try to stay also topical. So there's things going on in the news. We try to take that news item and swing it so that you're talking about that. Or perhaps, you know, taking your book and, you know, making it a media advisory. We'll alert the media that you're out there and you're able to talk about your book and you're available to talk about it.
Dan, why don't you
yes,
ask
sir.
Him a couple questions?
I'll do my best. So what are the challenges that you see in your business today? Has it become more competitive, less competitive? Are there more shows, less shows? What's going on in your business?
Well, I mean, it all depends in the mindset that you have. I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, there's other PR firms, but I also know that we do things different and better than other PR firms do. And that's what keeps us a crop of, you know, above, you know, the best. You know, we feel we're better than the best, and that's what we try to do for our clients. Is we try to do the best we can for them and give our 110%.
So Don and I are both authors, and I've got several books coming out over the next 6 months. What could you do for me or Don?
Sure. What we would do is we would take your book. We have a writing staff, and we would go in and take a look at what's going on in the news, and kind of get you out there, you know, let them know that you're available to talk about this. You're available to talk about that. And we keep ourselves current. You know, a lot of PR firms, perhaps, the difference between us and them is maybe they're going to send something out on a monthly basis. We send something out every week. You know, we keep your name alive in the media constantly. I mean, we just had somebody on NBC, an NBC affiliate. We had somebody on a Fox affiliate. We've had people on National Fox. National CNN, you know, in Time Magazine. So those are the kind of things that we deal with: print, radio, and television.
So if I'm an author and I've got my first book out, what is it going to cost me to use you, and how long is an engagement?
Well, we what we do is we work with you. We have to kind of take a look at the whole picture to see how much work and how much investment of our time is going to take before we can say, well, this is that, and this is that. We do have, you know, different tiers. And we also like to go ahead and get, you know, your feet wet. So we're not going to lock you in for a year. At the same time, it depends, you know, how long you want an investment involved in this whole thing. But generally, we start to get our feet wet for months and see how things go and then advance on from there.
And is it expensive to have you work for me?
Our rates are affordable. Our rates are affordable. We like to sit down, discuss it with our clients, you know, discuss it on an individual basis. And but yeah, we have people just starting out.
So I'm thinking about the other thing I'm thinking about is small businesses. Can you do your work in a smaller area as opposed to national? Can you work in like Cincinnati or Newark or New York City or whatever?
We have clients all over the country, all over the world even. We just signed somebody in Denmark and India. But I tell you, you know, yeah, we've dealt with people in Tampa Bay, Florida. We've dealt with Cincinnati. And yeah, when you say national, you know, Fox News hits everywhere. So it's not going to be any more for them to be on that type of venue. But, yeah, we'll also hit their market. So if they're just in Cincinnati and they're, let's say, we've had one of our clients we had was a, you know, where they put their, I'm going blank here what I'm thinking, but where they put, you know, they stack their stuff, they keep their stuff if they're moving. We even represented a mover one time. So it doesn't matter if you're a mover, you're an author, you know, a dancer, we're going to do business with you.
So that a small businessman who would be listening to our show, who's got a unique product or service, you could help him or her market that service in a specific market to get himself exposure.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to take what they do and market to that area. So they say, well, we'd like to market to New York area or just to this area. We're going to go in and hit that area and that media area that they want.
And what's happening in the radio and TV market? Is it contracting?
Well, I tell you, you know, the radio and TV market, it's one of those markets that it's growing. You know, people say, well, no, you know, it's a turnover type business. But, you know, I see things getting better. It's becoming more local, perhaps. But local radio, and that's one of the areas that I started out in, was producing a local radio show. And it actually did really well in that market in Tampa Bay. So I don't find any, as far as the changes, I think that we're getting better than not.
So you're saying that the local markets are getting stronger? Did I hear you right?
Yes, that's correct. I think that it's getting away from, you know, the iHeart radio stations and whatnot. I think it's growing to where it's more locally based, and I like locally based radio.
So you just raised something I just thought about, because it just came across my wire this morning. There is some real concern that iHeartRadio is going to have to go into bankruptcy. How will that change the radio business?
Well, then you're going to get a lot more people buying into those radio stations that are no longer, you know, that if they succumb to bankruptcy, then those radio stations are going to be wanted, you know, by people that have always wanted to, maybe at a better value, too. So then we're going to have a lot of locally owned stations.
So the iHeart Radio Network, and the article that I read this morning was pretty dire. They didn't think they were going to have the money. They got a lot of bonds that are due, and they're short on cash flow. So you're saying that these potentially many of the iHeart Radio stations could come back on the market, but could come back on a value proposition.
Well, I mean, you know, we're not to where, I don't know if we can use that word, satellite radio. We're not, yeah, I think that everybody thought satellite radio was going to become this big, huge thing, or, you know, we were getting to the point where we're going to have podcasts, and podcasts are great. I don't know if everybody's listening to that in their car just yet. But however, yes, iHeartRadio, maybe it's starting to grow, things are growing, and we're seeing different changes with the internet and whatnot, and maybe the iHeartRadio platform is not working well with that. So, you know, locally owned is where to go. I think that if people buy into that, we're going to see a lot of people, a lot of different hosts come out, and I like that because, you know, we've seen voice tracking, and what that is for the people that don't know what I'm saying when I say voice tracking, somebody ahead of time editing in their voice to where it's not, you're not interviewing people, you're not getting that local feel. And I think people at home want to feel that local feel and not those national, and not hearing national shows. And I think that's also the problem, is that the ratings are dropping.
Dan, can I jump in with a question?
Sure. You're right ahead.
To Shannon. Well, actually, it's a I have to tell you, I'm biased about Shannon for a variety of reasons, not the least of which a satisfied customer. But Shannon, could you give us an example where you took on somebody and really made them a national figure, or really helped them grow?
Sure. We've had a few people. I mean, we've had people that have had books that weren't perhaps getting out there, and they ended up, you know, out in the big-time media or on Fox and Friends, or ended up, you know, the few people that ended up, their book became a movie. We also had a gentleman that was trying to get their yoga out there, sports entertainer, and it became viral. So there's so many different things that we've done. We had a gentleman that was not in the news, and we ended up making him a relevant celebrity, and he covered in Time magazine. So many different things that we've done for so many different people. We had a lady that was trying to get her, she had this band that you would become less nauseous. And we got her every facet of the market that she was in, that she was on every form of media in that market.
Well, I'll have one more question, Dan, before our break. Shannon, one of the things that I like about it is you create a program where each week you send out a pitch for some of your clients. Will you talk about that?
Sure, yeah, and that's the thing, is the difference between us and other PR firms is that we send stuff out, we send a pitch out every week because, you know, we want to be able to stay with the news, be current, concurrent with what's happening in the news. So we're not going to send something out, wait a whole month, and let's see what happens. Send the same boring pitch, perhaps, that, you know, you're not interested in. But no, we're going to stay current with what's happening in the news.
Well, I know that works. Dan, I'll turn it back to you for one more question before our break.
One more question, sure. I'm curious about, is there anybody that you won't take as a client?
I mean, there's reasons, you know, for you know, they're, I guess, super difficult, but we've had those later on. I won't mention names, you know, that we've dealt with. But I tell you, you know, everyone has their own thing, and, you know, there may be perhaps one that may come across. But we've dealt with the, you know, we've dealt with, everybody has their own quirks. You know, everybody has their own personality.
Sure.
We deal with them.
So it's how big is your staff?
We have quite a, you know, different people all over the country that are working with us, Eclectic Media PR, and we have people that handle writing, that handle you know, our booking, Don, Tony, so and different people, interns. So you know, we have a great crop of people that work with us.
We have to stop here briefly for a word from our sponsor, but we'll be back with Shannon Rose to talk about his company. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Before you hear this, or this, or even this, before you turn a key, step on the gas, and let it rip, before you get up and out and on the road, you have to be fueled by something. Make sure that something is Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
Oh, we're back with Shannon Rose, PR person for Don Mazzella and a lot of other people. Shannon, if we talked about being a new author, and if I make the decision that I want to go with somebody like you, what are the kind of questions I need to ask?
Sure. The question you would ask a publicist would be, you know, what are they going to, you know, do for you? What are the plans? You know, it's kind of like I use the term storyboarding. You're going to put on, it's almost getting like a chalkboard and putting on there. And they do this in news departments, and they do it for a movie if you're a director. And, you know, and this maybe comes from my experience working in productions. I'm also a casting director in Florida. So I kind of know how to storyboard everything. So you want to say, what is the path of your plan with your book, and, you know, what's going to happen next? And, you know, and you also want to know what kind of topics that they, you know, we always try to work with our clients and see what they want to talk about, too. Nothing goes out unless the client approves it. That's important to do.
Well, you have a situation when you're thinking about hiring a publicist to promote you, of always trying to figure out what's my value proposition? What am I getting? So when you take on a new client, do you lay out a plan and what your expectations are, your measurement standards of what you're doing?
Well, you know, everybody's going to have their own different type of plan. You know, we do lay it out. We send them a proposal and an agreement once we initially talk to them and see, you know, what they're looking for and what we can provide for them.
So what are stations, radio and television, what are they looking for today? What are the hot areas today of trying to get people? What do they want?
Well, you know, it's really all over the place. I mean, we've had some popular pitches as of late about robots. We've had them wanting to talk about health care. That's a hot button issue, as I call it. Maybe about our president. So it's really all over the place. It's really the gamut of, all of our clients are popular. They're all over the place as far as being interviewed.
Do you find yourself having more people who want talent as opposed to talent available to get to them?
I think, you know, my clients are always available for the different media outlets that want them. I mean, they know that they know when they go into this that they have to have the time to be able to do it. Or they, you know, they want to provide themselves for a publicist to put themselves out there.
So what I was asking was, is there greater demand than there is supply of people to talk?
Is there greater demand?
In other words, are the station producers have more demand for content than you have people to produce the content for them?
I mean, we always have the people to be able to produce for them. So there's always we always have an availability. We're always open for them.
So there's not a shortage.
Correct.
What? Go ahead, Don.
Well, no, you're doing such a good job. Keep going. I'm afraid of being too biased when it comes to Shannon.
Okay. I'm looking at radio and television, and I see radio continuing to dramatically build audience share. Why network television is going south? It's losing market share and losing viewership big time. And I wonder if that is a function of people are tired of network television and they like radio better. What do you think's happening in your business?
Well, I think we're changing a little bit, and I don't find that to change too much. We're getting people on TV, and I don't see too much of a hurt. Hurting us in that aspect. But you know what I think is hurting television maybe is the Hulu, the advent of cutting the cord. I mean, I did that myself. You know, I'll be honest, I have Hulu, I have Netflix, I watch that, Sports Entertainment Networks. So that's what I've done, and I think that's what people are doing. So they're getting away from the commercials or getting away from – and it's hard to track, you know, just like DVRs came in. When they came in, it was hard to track when people were watching live shows because they were all DVRing everything.
I know that in my life, I guess I'm in your camp. I watch a lot of Netflix. I watch a lot of PBS Aftermarket. I watch a little bit of Fox, and I watch the Golf Channel, and that's basically my television viewing.
Yeah, I mean, I like reality shows, I'll be honest. I watch a lot of that. I watch, I like superhero stuff, so anything that comes on, like The Flash and Supergirl. And, so, you know, I'm very eclectic in my viewing also.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm going to jump in and go 180 degrees. I see someone just wrote something across my screen about healthcare. And the question is there a greater demand for people who can tell people how to better live their lives and be healthier than any other form?
I mean, we have both. I mean, we've got somebody that takes it from a political stance, and then we have somebody that, yeah, that can help them out and being healthier. We've had people that, you know, how to use your mind to become healthier also.
And also, the critics say that there are not enough liberal stations in the United States, rather than most stations are conservative in the Rush Limbaugh mode. Do you find that to be the case?
Conservative stations around. But when you get to, again, talking about the locally owned, those are more of the liberal, you know, somewhat of the conservative too, but they're more liberal.
Well, is there perhaps a reaction to the fact that the NPR radio is really perceived as being very liberal?
I don't know. I think, again, that NPR is for it, it has its own market. You know what I'm saying? So I think that each is own. I mean, you have your market for each person that wants is really into that.
Well, we're talking with Shannon Rose, who's president of MediaProductions.tv. We have just enough time for one more question from Dan.
Shannon, I was listening to your conversation with Don about changes in local demographics, and I wanted to make sure that I understood what you're saying. Are you saying locally owned stations as opposed to network-owned stations tend to be more conservative, network stations tend to be more liberal? Is that what you were saying?
No, I say locally owned. You know, the ones I've dealt with seem to be liberal versus...
More liberal.
More liberal, correct.
Okay. And there's been a significant shift away from conservative cable to liberal cable with MSNBC capturing more and more market share. Is that an indication that the country's becoming more and more liberal, or is it just an anomaly?
I mean, Fox has their problems too. You know, I think people are seeing the different issues that Fox has been having, and I think that's pushing people away from perhaps being, you know, liking Fox or viewing Fox. Just my opinion.
Yeah, but I then you take CNN, who I heard last week is 13th in ratings behind Nick at Night reruns. I mean, that's a disaster.
Yeah,
for them.
It is a disaster. Yeah.
And they've stuck to their liberal agenda, anti-Trump, and I think they're paying for it with viewership. Well,
but,
Shannon,
well,
I think we're.
I'm not going to get my view. I'm not going to get into the politics here. But
okay, I understand. It wasn't my intention to try and get you involved in it. So, so Shannon Rose has been with us talking about his business of finding places for people like Don and me to talk to and do radio and television shows. And he does it with a lot of different other people. So give us your website one more time, Shannon.
Sure. It's MediaProductionsWithAnS.tv. The way to contact me is srose@MediaProductions.tv. I'm on the internet. Facebook, Shannon Rose, or Shannon Hollywood Rose, or you can go to my business page, Eclectic Media PR on Facebook, or Mr. Hollywood on the business, my business page on Facebook. And
we'll
Twitter at Shannon K. Rose.
Okay. We will try and put as many of those as possible on our recalculating.biz website next to the show when it's there in the next hours or a few hours or so. Thank you for joining us today, Shannon Rose from mediaproductions.tv. And now we have a word from a sponsor, Don.
No, we get your tip of the day.
Okay.
Dan Perkins here from recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Have you ever worked really hard to land an order only to find out that you lost it? There are times where we really want an order from a prospective client, and then you find out after all your hard work, the order went to a competitor. We learn wisdom from our failures much more than from our successes. It still hurts to lose the order, but losing an order teaches us a great deal about what kind of business person we really are. So here's your recalculating.biz small business tip of the day. When you find out that you lost the order, don't send an email. Send a letter to the head of the business unit that placed the order. Tell that person that you are disappointed that you didn't get the order, but that you'll work even harder to get the next one. Ask him to tell you what you can do so the next time the order's in play, you can win it. This has been Dan Perkins with your recalculating.biz small business tip of the day.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-throughs. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
You know, Dan, each time you hit us with one of those tips of the day, I said, Don, they're darn good. I enjoyed that one in particular, but the last two have been really hitting the nail on the head. Having said that, what did you think of today's guests?
Well, the financing guy I thought was fascinating because he talked about is how the financing of small business has expanded when the banks walked away from the small under-million-dollar loans and these, quote, non-bank banks, which, you know, I've been talking to you about for months, have stepped up and taken over part of the lending process and offering competitive rates. And now the banks, the big banks, realize that maybe they made a mistake. Might have been the right thing for them to do at the time they did it, but they took way too long to get back into the markets and begin to offer loans to people. Your publicity guy, Shannon Rose, was fascinating to all the companies that he works with and how he can do wonders as far as getting publicity. So I think if we have listeners who might be authors or artists or songwriters or whoever, they might want to give Shannon make a contact with him to see if they can help them move their career along. You know, it only takes one break, to, especially in the creative arts, to launch a career. And Greg Shannon's been doing it for quite a while.
Well, we only have enough time to say goodbye until next time from Don Mazzella. And I'm
Dan Perkins, and we'll look forward to hearing you and talking to you next week.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.